You're probably aware of this, but it is hard to look at anything in our life, whether that's circumstance or relationship, without having a me-centric perspective, right? I mean, how can you look at anything without thinking of how it impacts me, how I'm affected, how my situation's affected? This is normal, given the fact that we are created beings. Now, God has made us eternal, but we have been created in a world that is finite. And so we can't help but think in those terms. Now, God, by His Spirit, transforms us, and He makes us to think and act and move by His Spirit, and He is selfless. And so we begin that process, He begins that process in us, to cause us to think in terms of Him, in terms of eternity, of kingdom, of others. Now, you can see markings of this, you can see it in our verbiage in Christianity, in our context, in our culture. Because how do we approach a relationship with God, with somebody else? Have you accepted Jesus? Have you made the choice for Him to be a part of your life? Have you determined in your heart? It's all about us and our choice. You see, we think that we have ultimate control. We don't. It doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter how you've approached things. God is God. It is His grace that has saved. It is Him who has interacted with us. It is He, by His Spirit, who draws all men and women and boys and girls to Himself. He is the ultimate. He's in control. So as much as we want to think, well, I've determined, I've made the choice, I've come to the conclusion, it is God who ultimately oversees, interacts on our behalf. It's by grace you've been saved, through faith. This is not of yourself, it's a gift of God. It's not you. You can't boast about it. You can't make choices in your life. You've been bought with a price. Now, theologians and people argue back and forth because God has granted will or free will. We're not robotic in our love for Him. He doesn't command and demand and then move us into relationship against our will. And we're not going to argue that this morning. But I will say that God is ultimately in control. And no matter what it looks like on the outside, it is He who calls. Blind Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, is the account of blind Bartimaeus. Then they came to Jericho, and as He was leaving Jericho with His disciples, and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus knew his situation. He had no sight physically, but he had no insight spiritually. And out of desperation, it looks like he is initiating this relationship, right? And he calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, save me. Come, take care of my situation. I'm in a circumstance of my life that has been totally dependent. I am lost. I am blind. I cannot see. I cannot take care of myself. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He was in a place that he needed God's mercy. Now you would think that this, by the story and by this account, that Jesus was sort of taken aback, or that this was the initiation of the relationship by Bartimaeus. But I believe that Jesus was keenly aware not only of Bartimaeus's plight, of his circumstance, but his spiritual depravity and his spiritual need for being saved. And many sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more. You've been in those situations where initially you're crying out to God, and us in our instant gratification society want Jesus to come right now and remove me from my plight. Remove me from my situation. This would be the best thing. I know, right? I'm in the situation. I make the determination on what way I'm going to go. And Jesus, I've determined that the best way for you to act is on my behalf and remove me from my circumstance. I'm probably the only one that have said that before. But he keeps crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And this is the part I want us to pay attention to. And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here. Call him here." Out of his deep need, more so spiritually than physically, Jesus calls him. So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He's calling for you. Take courage, stand up. He's calling for you." I believe now we can take courage, because before we even think of engaging God in any circumstance, any relationship, before we think in our own best estimation that the right move is to include God in this, he's calling. He's drawing. He's waiting. He's initiating. Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you. So throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "Now, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Now, this is probably his initial encounter with Jesus. And he knew Jesus, the man, son of David, although that has implications of that label, of that title. But the blind man is calling out to this man who he knew could save him. But Jesus wanted Bartimaeus to understand something deeper. He was going to meet his need. He was going to heal him. He knew that. But this was the beginning of a relationship that Jesus wanted him to explore the depths of relationship with the Godhead. He wanted him to go to the spiritual depth and understand his need for more than just physical sight. But he understands this is the beginning of the relationship. This is how we've come into relationship with Jesus, if we have. And maybe some of us here are not in that relationship yet. But you know how it's usually initiated? I recognize my need, and I believe in my heart and in my mind that I'm going to take the initial action. All the while, God knows. All the while, he's drawing. He's tenderly calling. He's bringing into relationship. And it usually starts by us recognizing some kind of need that is beyond us. Bartimaeus knew that for him to receive sight was well beyond him, or he would have given himself sight. And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." Rabboni, I want my sight. I want you to act on my behalf. And Jesus, in order to gain that platform with him, gives him his sight. And says, "Go, your faith has made you well." Go! Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Well, go ahead and go. Your faith has given you sight. And how many times with us has he done that? He's acting on our behalf. We cannot come to any kind of conclusion other than God has acted on our behalf. Sometimes God says to me, is that all you want? Is that all you want? You want to be healed? You want to be removed from that which is up against you? Is that what you want? Okay. Okay. Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. Go ahead and go. If that's what you want, go ahead and go. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Immediately he gained his sight and began to follow Jesus on the road. This is what happens when God engages us. I understand when we talk to people who have never met Jesus, that we walk and we talk in ways that they would understand. But we have to come to the conclusion that it is God who's initiating the relationship. It is God who's done all that is necessary, overcome all enemy obstacles in order to bring us into relationship with him. And so when we go to him and we say, Jesus, I need your healing. Many times, he is there to heal. I can testify from my own life. He does those things. But oftentimes, the next question is that all you want? Is that what you want? And he causes us to get to the point of saying, no, that's not all I want. I want something deeper. I want you. I want to follow you. Where are you going? Because where you're going, I want to follow. This morning, we will once again have leaders around that if you are needing, wanting, longing for the touch of God in whatever regard that is, physical, emotional, spiritual healing, he's there. And he's wanting to do those things. And that is not wrong. It was not wrong for Bartimaeus to scream out, Son of David, have mercy on me. In fact, that was the right move. But yet understand that God who can bring healing wants to bring so much more. And the question that usually is posed, if you'll listen, if you'll stop, is that all you want? Woman, if you want water that you'll never be thirsty again physically, that's one thing. I can give you waters of life. Jesus takes the physical in order to introduce us to the spiritual. We're going to take some time. We'll be in the back. Scripture says that are any of you sick? Call on the elders that they may anoint you and that you would be well. Does he always do the way we have determined in our heart is the best move for us? No, because he ultimately knows what the best thing is for us. But out of obedience, we do those things because we know it's an avenue into a deeper walk relationship with Jesus. We come as a family and gather around the table that Jesus has prepared in the heavenlies. And so if you're a follower of his, if you're a child of his, you are definitely welcome to take with us. Elders, I think there's a lot of confusion when Jesus was sitting with his disciples, his friends, his brothers. And he was talking about his body. Understand, they had no understanding of where he was going, what he was going to do. But they knew him. There was a relationship that was built on trust, on time spent, on engagement, on walking life out. They knew Jesus. We don't know all the ramifications or the results of God's grace or what salvation has brought to us. All we have are some symbols, but yet we have his Holy Spirit, and we have that relationship. And so we don't know what John says. We have no idea what we're going to become. But we know that we'll be like him when we see him. And so we're in that tension, in that place of now but not yet. We have the Holy Spirit. We have relationship with Jesus. He speaks. He talks. He interacts. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we know him. And he spoke to his disciples and he said, "This is my body. It symbolizes my body. This bread is going to be broken for you. You may not understand it, but it's going to be broken for you. But remember who I am. Remember the relationship we have. Keep that trust. Keep that faith." So this morning, we take this symbol, not knowing all that it represents, but knowing that we have been saved into a relationship and we know Jesus. So let's take it out of faith. I think in the past, in history, a person's word or his seal or his promise meant his life. It was everything. We talked about that in Sunday school, about the seal and how that was guaranteeing a promise. Jesus said, "There's going to be a new covenant, a new promise. There's going to be a new reality from what you know now. And that new covenant, that new promise, is going to be guaranteed by my blood. Written by my blood. Therefore, when the Son of God sheds his blood on behalf of his creation, you can pretty much guarantee that that promise is going to be fulfilled. And that promise is of an abiding relationship with God. The Holy Spirit has come. He has indwelled his followers. And there will be a culmination of this relationship. And when there's doubt that arise, when there's things that come into your mind and heart, just remember, it's done. Because it was written in the blood of the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who gave his life for us. Let's take that. Take this symbol and the hope which he provides. Jesus, this is a freeing and satisfying thought that there's no obstacle you have not overcome. There's no enemy that can come up against us. For we are more than conquerors. We have been created anew by your Spirit, and we have relationship with you. All these things that you have promised will happen. Because Jesus, you gave your life. You shed your blood. And by your blood, the sins of man are forgiven for those who are found in you. And I thank you have called us. I thank you have brought us into relationship. I thank you for your power. I thank you for the victory that is ours. You truly are a good God. And we love you and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.